Hey, Marmac family, this is Danielle Lofton with Marmac's Public Affairs Office, back with you again for another exciting episode of the Maintainer Podcast. Have you ever wondered if your feedback truly matters? Well, in this episode, we'll be sitting down with our new command-managed Equal Opportunity Manager, Senior Chief Michael Green, to discuss the upcoming DEOC survey and why your feedback might be more important than you think. We've also got an exclusive interview between our commanding officer, Captain Jay Young, who sat down with our newly appointed Executive Director, Mrs. Dawn Dick. Get ready to learn more about her and hear what she has planned for the command. So grab your headphones and stay tuned for that and more in this special edition episode of the Maintainer Podcast. It's that time of year again. The time where the command is asking for our feedback to help leadership better understand what the command is doing right and where they can improve. But what is the DEOC survey? Why is it so important? And why do you need my DOD ID number if it's truly anonymous? I sat down with our new Simeo, Senior Chief Michael Green, to help us get a better understanding of what the DEOC survey is all about. All right. Well, I just wanted to start off by saying thank you so much for meeting me just to sit here and discuss the DEOC survey, answer some questions that I feel like not only I have, a lot of people in the command may have, and just discuss the importance of the DEOC overall. But before we get into that, can you just introduce yourself to the command and what your role is?
Absolutely. So good morning, Marmac. This is Senior Chief Green. I am the Command Managed Equal Opportunity Program Manager, also known as the Simeo, and I'm here to talk to you this morning about the upcoming DEOC survey. So the DEOC survey is going to go live officially this upcoming Tuesday, September 17th, and it's going to run for 21 days, so it'll go through mid-October. So the DEOC survey is an opportunity for individuals at the command to voice their concerns about some issues they may be having in their work center or some issues they see with their chain of command. And it's going to be 100% anonymous. So this year, much like last year, you're going to use your DOD ID as your login. We're going to have QR codes posted throughout the command that you'll be able to scan with your phone, or you can log on your computer. You'll use your DOD ID as access to gain access to the survey so that you can complete it. The survey should only take you about 10 to 15 minutes, and it's just going to ask some questions about your experience here at Marmac. I do get a lot of questions, concerns about using a DOD ID and the anonymity concern with that, so I just wanted to take some time to put that to rest. So the reason we use a DOD ID is not so that anyone is able to see individual survey answers. The purpose is so that individuals may only take one survey. If we had another way of doing it, you may be able to take multiple surveys and that would skew the results. So the purpose for that is so that only one person can take one survey and so that one voice is heard for that individual.
You know, I think that makes sense, especially when you think about leadership who wants to know what percentage of the command may be experiencing the same problems. You can't really get accurate results if there's one person taking the survey multiple times. So I do understand why they made the change.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So why should we participate? Why is it so important? And how are our answers used to improve the command?
Great question. Thank you. So once we get the results of the survey, we take that information. It comes back 3 days later from NAVC. And the CRT, the Command Resiliency Team, we get together and we analyze the results. Now we have a month to take that information and dissect it. What it'll do is it'll point out some issues or some areas of improvement for the command and some things that we're doing good. So with that information, we develop a plan of action and milestones. So as a team, this team consists of multiple rates, so E1 all the way up through officers are able to be on the Command Resiliency Team. We take that information, and as a team, we develop a plan. So we go around the room and we discuss the issues that we're seeing based on the survey results and what we would like to do to get them corrected. So once we have our plan of action, the things that we've decided we want to do, we give that information to the commanding officer, and he makes sure that it gets implemented. But the ideas, the results, the plan of action comes directly from the members of the Command Resiliency Team.
Do you have any examples of how we used feedback to improve this command last year?
Yeah, absolutely. So the results of last year's survey, they took that and they were able to find our areas of concern, some things we wanted to improve on. They developed a plan of action and gave it to the CEO. Because of that, you see things like civilian counselors in the building, right? You see these programs that have come out of them. Simeo is directly a result of these type of surveys, right? Your family advocacy program managers, all these program managers, these counselors, fleet and family services, those are a result of these type of surveys. So we find the issues, the areas of concern, and we come up with a plan and we develop these programs in order to better help sailors. The other thing that comes out of these, if you may be too apprehensive about maybe putting in a complaint against someone, your chain of command, your work center supervisor, when you're filling out your survey, if you directly address the issues you're seeing with those people, as long as you put enough information into your answers, then a complaint can come out of those, right? So I take that information, and if it meets criteria for submitting a complaint, a formal complaint against an individual, then I'm obligated to fill those out and submit them to NAFC. So you can also see results coming from that point of view.
You know, I'm actually glad that you mentioned filing a complaint, because that just leads me to my next question, which was, how would you address concerns about potential negative consequences from providing honest feedback?
So the great thing is the Navy has instructions in place to protect individuals. We have the Whistleblower Act and we have the Retaliation Awareness Act. If you choose to submit a complaint against your chain of command or anybody else, the first thing that happens is you are read into the Retaliation Awareness Brief. And what it states is the things that you are not allowed to be subjected to by the alleged offender. For example, if I put a complaint in against my chief saying that they're discriminating against me, the first thing we would do when we go to address that is have the alleged offender, in this case the chief, be made aware of the retaliation procedures and the complainant, me. So we go through, you are not allowed to be retaliated against. There's no ostracism, discrimination, those types of things. And if any of that occurs during the complaint process, it's a simple conversation with myself and we address the issue.
Okay. I mean, it sounds like a pretty straightforward process, so I don't think that I have any other questions when it comes to that. So switching things up here, let's talk incentives. What can the command expect?
Yes. So this year, which is a change from last year, this is the first year where the CO is authorized to incentivize completion of the DIOC survey. There have been some discussions on how they want to do that. I know 72 hours for 72% was thrown around, but we've also had discussions about donuts and DIOC surveys. So your chief, your chain of command should give you time off to go and have a donut, probably in the Granby room and then another room at CEP 200 and fill out your DIOC survey. If we get to a certain percentage, the captain's able to give people time off or a pizza party or whatever he's come up with.
Is this for sailors and civilians?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So sailors and civilians add to the total percentage for the command's completion.
I guess there's no reason not to do it.
It's too easy. And you know what? 72 hours off sounds pretty good to me.
Yes. For 10 minutes of your time, 72 hours, you really can't beat that.
And you get to change the command, you know, fix some issues you may be having in your work center. So
100%. Well, again, I appreciate you just taking the time out to talk to me and answering some questions about the upcoming survey.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Before we move on to our final segment, I wanted to take this time to wish our outgoing Command Master Chief Donovan Gray farewell and following seas as he embarks on the next chapter of his career, and welcome our new Command Master Chief David Atkins to the Marmac family. Now, I'm going to pass the mic to our CEO as he interviews our newly appointed Executive Director, Mrs. Dawn Dick.
Hey, good afternoon, Marmac family. This is your Commanding Officer, Captain Jay Young. I'm lucky to have with me here today our special guest, our new Executive Director, Miss Dawn Dick. This is our second installation of our Maintainer podcast series, and we're lucky to have Dawn with us today. She brings a wealth of experience to this job. She's only been in it for a week and a half, and we're going to take this time to ask her some questions, have some fun, and get to know Dawn a little better. This is Dawn's first podcast as a participant. This is my first podcast as an interviewer, so we're going to see how this goes. All right, you ready to go, Dawn?
Yes.
Okay. All right, let's have some fun. So first question, can you briefly tell us a little bit about who you are, your life growing up, and how it's shaped you today?
Yes, I'm an only child, born in Cleveland, Ohio. My dad was an Army vet He was also a coal miner after the Army. And he was a 20-year postmaster, so delivering your mail for 20 years in West Virginia. My mom was a 42-year federal civilian. She was actually in this building in LF-18 when it was the Naval Aviation Depot Center. She was a production controller, and she was in a little cage in the back of the building. So it used to be there until just a few years ago. But when I was a little girl, I would come to this building a lot. I remember the dock. Everything still looks the same from the outside. On the inside, there was really no walls. I mean, it was hangars. But anyway, the picnics were over at Captain Slave Cutter Park. It just makes me think back to my younger self. So both of them, my parents, had a sense of service, both passionate about military and strong work ethic. So I'm lucky to have inherited some of those traits from them. I am mission-driven. I love serving and helping others, and I'm passionate about Marmec's mission of fixing ships.
That's awesome. My dad was also an Army vet, so we got that in common. All right, next question I have. What are some of the most important life lessons that you've learned, both personally and professionally?
First one has to be kindness goes a long way. Treating others with empathy and respect strengthens relationships and builds a positive environment, and I'm very much about positivity. Matter of fact, some listeners may laugh when they hear this because one of my favorite sayings is, did you put some sugar on it? Just emphasizing that it's not hard to be nice and takes very little time to be kind. Something else I often think about is time. So time is our most valuable resource. A lot of people say that they don't have enough time to do this, that, or the other, but actually you have all of the time. You just have to prioritize what matters most to you. And lastly, serving others. It feels good, not only to me, but also to whoever you're serving. And it generally takes little to no effort. And I bet if you close your eyes and try to think back to a time when you've been genuinely happy, you have been serving someone else.
I couldn't agree more. Thanks, Dawn. What do you see as some of the biggest challenges facing Marmec today? And what are some of your ideas, having come up from Code 200 and Code 1100, what are some of your ideas to address the issues?
Okay, so there's definitely a few challenges facing Marmec. Certainly one of the biggest facing us is great power competition and preparing our personnel to support the fleet in conflict. But we are talking about it. We are communicating specifics. We've added the topic to our NEO and indoctrination for our new folks, generated pamphlets. We've ID'd command and department reps. We're currently designing, building a new war room. We are cross-training technicians and people that want to do different things for when it's time. Assisting across the enterprise with policy. We're trying to be a passport agent. I know lots of us have heard that before. We're on maybe our third attempt to do that. And we're building specific teams like battle damage assessment readiness teams, expeditionary maintenance teams. We've had Reserve X and Deploy X teams here. They're training here with us. Also, we're running and participating in different scenarios and tabletop drills with our sister commands. So we are definitely ramping up in this area. Secondly, for a couple of years, we've been working on incorporating artificial intelligence into our operations to aid in our decision making. This is actually helping to deliver ships back to the fleet faster, but there's still so much more to do. We have roughly 100 databases across Marmec that we need migrated into new technology just so we can continue using them. We are looking into standing up a branch just to stay on top of efforts like this because it's so important. Mental health and the well-being of our people is a challenge. No doubt that stresses of work and life can take a toll on our mental health. Fortunately for us, we now have several levers in place to help, but it's still not an autopilot. It takes consistent communications and collaborations via not only the Human Factors Council, but our new full-time chaplain, our three mental health counselors, deployability care coordinators, Marmec leadership, and all of our people. It also takes team building events, and it takes comfort dogs. So I love seeing the pictures when Mutt's on a mission visits, because no one can pet a dog without smiling. And it's a huge smile on their face. But overall, we just need to care about each other.
I'll tell you, Dawn, we're aligned on the challenges. The work that you did in Code 1100 to build our capability and capacity to improve mental fitness was tremendous. And I would put our the work that you and your team and our team at Marmec have done in the mental health field up against any command in the Navy for what we're doing right now. Supporting the fleet during time of conflict is a top priority. We need to be prepared to support the fleet if and when we find ourselves in a wartime environment. We're seeing it right now, the ships that are being attacked by drones and missiles over in the Red Sea and elsewhere in the Middle East. The work we're doing on these ships before they deploy is setting them up for success. And they have defended themselves to this point, and we hope that we continue to support them. And we will. Okay, next question. Do you have any quotes or philosophies that you live by?
Yeah, I do. You've actually heard me say this at NDOC. So if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. I've been here a long time, and honestly, I can't remember any day that I dreaded coming to work. For me, it's the people, the mission, and the fact that there are no 2 days the same here. All three elements make this work meaningful and enjoyable. I also love the quote, build a place where people want to be. So it makes me think of all of the work that the cops are doing, the community of practices. They're trying to focus on people, communications, and relationships, and to make Marmec a great place to be. In my opinion, Marmec's culture is not bad, but everything could use improvement. And all of the cops are working on initiatives, but I'd like to hear what everyone else, what's on everyone else's mind. And the best way to tell us that is through the DEOC survey, which is starting next Tuesday.
DEOC survey is a great example of how we receive input. CO suggestion box, just deck plate conversations. The more information and feedback we get, and you as ED are going to get a lot of it, the more we can improve. Okay. Is there anything that you're passionate about outside of work?
Yeah. So a couple things. So family. I would also have to put sports with family because my husband, Jimmy, he's an avid fisherman, hunter, golfer, anything outdoors. He loves it. And my five kids have all been into sports from softball, soccer, wrestling, basketball, and baseball. I might be the only person in Virginia that's certified in all five sports to be a scorekeeper, a VHSL scorekeeper in every sport. But anyway, I have to say there's nothing better than wasting a full weekend at any field or court cheering on your player and their team, even in the rain. And when it gets canceled, you get upset. But matter of fact, looking forward to it this weekend. And it's really everything is about family, but sports play a big role in that.
All right, so now we're going to move into, we're going to have a little more fun. There's been a lot of professional discussion right now. We're going to have a little more fun and get to know maybe the other side of Dawn here a little bit. So a couple questions. Football season. I'm a huge football fan. Favorite football team, college or NFL or both? If you got one of each, what's your favorite football team?
I go with my family, and so it has to be the Washington Commanders.
Commanders. College team or just the NFL?
College, I might have to say Coastal Carolina.
All right. Coastal Carolina. Okay. All right. What's your favorite movie?
I would have to say Urban Cowboy.
Okay, John Travolta.
John Travolta.
John Travolta.
I like it. It's been a while since I saw it. John Travolta. All right, I love it. So you can't go to a movie without food. What's your favorite food?
At the movies?
No.
Oh,
before.
Okay.
Dinner before
okay.
The movie. What's your favorite food?
So I'll go Italian.
Italian.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Any specifics?
Lasagna.
Lasagna. Okay. All right. If you could travel anywhere tomorrow, where would you go?
I would go to Spain.
Near Italy, Spain.
Yeah, near
Italy,
yeah.
Eat some paella.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so some rapid fire questions here. These are easy, no fail. Dunkin' or Starbucks?
Starbucks.
Hamburgers or hot dogs?
Hamburgers.
Chick-fil-A or Popeyes?
Chick-fil-A.
All right, I've seen your account.
I have almost 100,000 points on Chick-fil-A app.
Start using those.
Yes.
All right, Chick-fil-A it is. Coke or Diet Coke?
Diet Coke.
Okay. Book or movie?
Movie.
Right. Aisle seat or window seat?
Window.
Ooh, I'm an aisle seat. Aisle seat all day long. Dog. I think I know the answer to this. Dogs or cats?
Dogs.
Okay. Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Wars.
Okay. Sticking to the movie theme. Team Edward or Team Jacob?
Team Jacob.
Team Jacob. Okay. Last one. New Kids on the Block or NSYNC?
NSYNC.
NSYNC? New Kids. Okay. All right. Last question I have, Dawn. Describe yourself in three words.
Oh, goodness. In three words, transparent, caring, and accountable.
All right. Transparency, caring, and accountable.
Yeah.
Dawn, thank you very much. For the command, in less than 15 minutes, we gained a tremendous amount of information about Dawn and looked to learn a lot more about her as we work through the next year and many more to come as Dawn with our new executive director. Dawn, thank you
for having me.
Thank you.
And that's a wrap for this special edition episode of the Maintainer Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and LinkedIn and subscribe to our news page so you can stay up to date on what's happening around the command. Until next time, stay safe and thanks for listening.